The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to KTQA Daily Briefing. My name is Becky, and it's my pleasure to bring you the briefing as we have been doing since about late March at the start of our stay-at-home orders. We bring you the KTQA Daily Briefing every day at 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday with live briefings on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It is Wednesday, July 22nd? The 22nd. It is Wednesday, July 22nd at 1 minute past 6 o'clock. Remember that state-level updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. The state's coronavirus Q&A line is staffed 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also text the coronavirus Q&A line at 211-211 in any language. Dialing 211 connects you to community resources statewide through the United Way, and you can also visit wa211.org online. The Washington Listens support line is available from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekends to help Washingtonians cope with pandemic-related stress as a free service for those who are not in crisis but do need an outlet to manage stress. The number for the Washington Listens line is 1-833-681-0211. Our state-level news for today involves listing Washington State as now one of the states on the mandatory quarantine list for travelers going to New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Washingtonians headed to the East Coast tri-state region are required to self-isolate for 14 days upon arrival at their destination. Individuals who leave airports without filling a form for tracking travelers are subject to a $2,000 fine and may face a court-ordered quarantine. Hotel clerks or business partners are able to report violations, and police officers who pull over out-of-state individuals for traffic infractions may enforce quarantine rules. We have some school updates. I know that it is, well, late July, and many of us are still enjoying the what feels like maybe the start of summer or kind of just kicking into summer gear with our beautiful warm weather. But lots of folks around the state are busy thinking about what's going to happen with school. Myself included, because I happen to be a public school employee, but certainly many, many teachers and caregivers of children, parents, grandparents, school employees, administrators, nutrition workers, school bus drivers, all sorts of folks that are impacted by this. The Auburn, Bellevue, Federal Way, Highline, Kent, North Shore, and Renton school districts all have confirmed that the school year will begin with remote learning. Seattle schools are planning to begin with remote learning as well, but they must wait for a school board meeting to make it official. The superintendent of Seattle Public Schools has made that official recommendation. Edmonds, North Thurston, Franklin Pierce, and Puyallup schools all announced that they still plan on having a hybrid start to the school year with some face-to-face and some remote learning. Tacoma Public Schools will broadcast a virtual public open school board meeting tomorrow, July 23rd at 6 p.m. You can watch that at tacomaschools.org/watch live. The Washington Interscholastic Activities Association has announced a modified high school sports calendar for the upcoming school year that pushes football, soccer, and volleyball to the early spring of 2021. Sports that may begin on September 7th include cross country, slow pitch softball, golf, and tennis, with girls swimming and diving possible dependent on health department information. However, if certain health benchmarks aren't met by July 28th, all fall high school sports will be moved to early spring. Winter sports are still scheduled to begin in late December of this year or early January of 2021, and these include basketball, bowling, boys swimming and diving, gymnastics, cheerleading, and wrestling. Traditional spring sports of tennis, fast pitch, baseball, track and field, dance, and drill are slated for late spring 2021. Some news from Pierce County. The deadline for online voter registration in advance of this August's primary is Monday, July 27th. Citizens can register to vote online at votewa.gov. Some regional news that does not involve schooling. Major League Baseball's 60-game abbreviated season starts this week. The Mariners will play against the Astros at Houston starting at 6:10 p.m. on Friday. The team's home opener will be against Oakland on July 31st. But no fans are permitted inside stadiums. That is to decrease the likelihood of coronavirus spread and, of course, within Washington to comply with all of our phased orders. More information is available at MLB.com. And for whatever reason, they're introducing the designated hitter rule to both the National both leagues. Why am I blanking on it? The virtues of live radio, where Becky forgets things, even things that she loves, like baseball. Anyway, the goodwill of the Olympics and Rainier region has developed a digital work opportunity center called the DWOC in response to the COVID-19 crisis to provide job seekers with access to Goodwill's free job training programs and career pathway services through an online learning portal. Information on classes and how to register is available at goodwillwa.org or by calling 253-573-6750. Some news for our King County listeners, because we know that folks in South King County can hear us on their radios and, well, you could be tuning in online at ktqa.org to our online stream. King County has purchased 25 million cloth disposable masks for distribution to residents and workers in the county. Businesses interested in assisting with distribution should follow links at kingcounty.gov/masks. Child care providers in King County who are seeking masks should call 1-800-446-1114. Burien residents may pick up masks at City Hall on July 23rd from 4 to 6 p.m., July 30th from 1 to 3 p.m., and August 6th from 4 to 6 p.m. Milton residents can pick up masks on Tuesdays and Thursdays from noon to 1 at Milton City Hall. Auburn residents can call 253-876-1925 or visit auburnwa.gov. Auburn will also distribute masks through school lunch programs, food banks, farmers markets, and public-facing counters at city facilities. And police officers in Auburn will carry supplies in cars and distribute them to anyone that they see not wearing one who may need one. Federal Way residents can call 253-835-2712. And residents of unincorporated King County can email asklocalservices@kingcounty.gov. Moving on to Tacoma news. The city of Tacoma is offering a workshop for residents called Budget in the Times of COVID-19 to advise on how the city's funds should be prioritized in light of a projected $67 million deficit for the 2021-2022 biennium. Participants will use an interactive tool to indicate what resources and services are important to them. The workshop is tomorrow, Thursday, July 23rd, 6 to 7:30 p.m. via Zoom. You can find the login information and call-in numbers on the city's Facebook page under Events. Anyone can try out the budget tool online at tacomawa.abalancingact.com or fill out the surveys for resident priorities at cityoftacoma.org/budgetdevelopment. All Metro Parks Tacoma parking lots, park gates, restrooms, playgrounds, and trails are now open to the public. Phase 2 social distancing and face covering guidelines must be followed at all times. Communal outdoor recreation is allowed when it involves 5 or fewer people from outside one's household. And registration is still open for Metro Parks Tacoma Children's Summer Day Camps. More info on that and registration is available at metroparkstacoma.org. The Tacoma Opera has canceled their 2020-2021 season in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. The organization does hope to continue to bring opera to the community in different ways during their suspended season. More info available at tacomaopera.com. And for those that have been listening for the last 3 minutes and heard my brain bloop, where I forgot the name of the American League and the National League, the two major leagues in Major League Baseball. There we go. It just takes a little bit of time sometimes for my brain to kick in. Let's see. There are numerous free testing sites in our region. Starting up north, for Seattle locations, visit seattle.gov or call 206-477-3977. For other King County locations, visit kingcounty.gov. For Pierce County locations, visit the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department's website at tpchd.org/COVID test. The rest of the week, there are pop-up testing events. They include tomorrow, July 23rd, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Graham Fire Station number 91. That's located at 10012 187th Street East. Also tomorrow, July 23rd, from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., there will be pop-up testing at the Multicultural Child and Family Hope Center at 2102 South 23rd Street in Tacoma. Patients can also call their healthcare providers for tests. Some of the testing sites offer rapid test results, while others have a longer turnaround time of several days. The health department reports that around 20% of COVID-19 tests in Washington state are being delayed because of national shortages of lab supplies, like chemicals and plastic vials and pipette tips. The department advises those needing fast results should call testing sites in advance to see if in-state labs are the ones doing analysis, since the in-state labs are seeming to have a more rapid turnaround time than large out-of-state labs. Those are the updates that I have for you today. I'm certain that throughout the next week or two, more information will be unfolding about how fall schooling will look in our K-12 schooling plans for our region and our state for starting in September. And those you can also, I'm certain, keep abreast of if you look at social media pages of your local school district. I'm sure that that's on a lot of people's minds, not just my minds, but also any employers who have employees that have children, anyone who might be called to be an ad hoc caretaker in the cases where parents are returning to work or working part time and school is not happening in session, but school is happening remotely. Also, stay tuned with us because we know that as more and more remote learning happens, there are increased remote learning tools needs. And so Sam and some of his colleagues and friends continue to work on some of the laptops and tablets to be able to ensure that Tacoma school students have the tools that necessary in order to be, you know, continuing to stay up on their summer learning or continuing in the fall if they are not in person or if there is hybrid remote learning that requires the use of a tablet or laptop. So stay, keep an eye out on ktqa.org and on our social media pages and whatnot as we continue to, on our own, as just volunteers and as technologists, prep some of these machines for distribution to children that will be hopefully able to utilize them. But we are not a large organization in that respect, and it's not even our primary purpose to provide technology to the community, but it is one way that we know of to help our community and help our students continue with their learning. Remember that you can dial 311 for the city of Tacoma. It's their non-emergency information line. You can dial 211 for statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org. Our phone number is 253-330-8821. You can call us or text us. And if anything that I read today, you didn't quite get a chance to catch, to write down, there was a phone number or there was a website, you know, address, a URL that you didn't quite catch, give us a call at 253-330-8821. It's likely that I will answer, since that telephone is being routed right now to our home as we are working remotely, since we are in phase two and continuing to stay home as much as possible. You can also, shortly after air, find all the things that we read out in our bulletins and briefs at our website at daily.ktqa.org. I really do thank you for the feedback that you've been giving us. If you are an organization and you think that you've got regular bulletins and updates that you want read out loud, give us a call. Get in touch with us. You know, email us daily@ktqa.org. Now, because we have been hard at work on some other radio station related things, I don't have a new interview for you today, but I do have a kind of in case you missed it interview for you today. So without further ado, I'm going to bring you again more information about wonderful Food is Free movement in Tacoma. I'm excited today to be speaking with David Thompson. He is the director and founder of Food is Free Tacoma and Food is Free Washington. He's also a commissioner on the Sustainable Tacoma Commission, a board member on the South End Neighborhood Council, and a WSU Pierce County Master Gardener intern. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
So Tacomans are increasingly seeing these really pretty signs in neighborhoods, maybe next to sort of median strip gardens or front yard gardens or tables announcing food is free. And so I'm excited to talk with you about that. Can you tell us about the program and the movement?
Well, Food is Free is about promoting front yard gardening and putting up sharing tables in the neighborhoods. The idea is to build community through sharing your food and other objects at the table. It was founded in 2012 by John Van Dusen Edwards. It traveled around the world, started in his little front yard and traveled all the way around the world, was really big in Australia, came back to Texas, and then from there I discovered it in 2015. And put a little table up out in front of my house, and we've grown from there.
That's pretty awesome, especially at this time when, well, a lot of folks have taken up gardening for the first time, perhaps, had a lot of support for home gardens during our pandemic, where our work schedules and schooling and things like that have been really altered. We've seen kind of an explosion of, you know, backyard gardens, front yard gardens, in general, in Washington, in our region. How have people been interfacing with the Food is Free movement in Tacoma?
Oh, the group is growing. It's moving really, really quickly. You're right. A lot of people have discovered that we have a weakness in our food supply system and that they need to take their security in their own hands to grow their own food.
Well, what makes it different from, say, like a food bank or other distribution network that maybe can balance meals and nutritional requirements and distribute food boxes that has a little bit of everything? What makes Food is Free sharing tables different from that?
Well, because it's mostly stuff that you've grown yourself. What you're going to find out is a lot of these new gardeners, they're going to find out that it's easy to plant way too much and grow way too much food and not have anything to do with it. It's really hard to get rid of it. You know, you try and give it to your friends and your neighbors, and if you just put it on a table and allow all the neighborhood to come up and choose it, then it'll go faster. You're never going to grow enough in your own house to really support a food bank. Food banks, they're requiring, you know, 50 to 100 pounds of apples. Its chances are you're not going to have that many in a smaller urban setting like that.
What motivated you personally to found a Food is Free movement in Tacoma and then take on the Washington State Network?
Well, what I did is, you know, I'm like most home gardeners. I started out with a little 300 square foot garden. And within a couple of years, it was 2,000 square feet. So I'd gotten totally out of control. Was growing way, way too much stuff. and I couldn't get rid of it. I kept trying to get my family to come over and pick stuff up, and nobody would come pick stuff up. And pretty soon I was canning and pickling, and I had jars all over the house, and it was just way too much. So I called the local food program up here in town, and I had 50 pounds of tomatoes, and I offered to take them, the 50 pounds of tomatoes, and I was turned down. So I found Food is Free over the off season that year. I said, well, the next year I'm going to set up a table and just do it myself. And that's what I did.
How does it work? I mean, if we see one of those Food is Free signs, do we need to have any kind of, I don't know, affiliation? Do we need to be from that neighborhood, or is it just really out there to be given?
They're for everybody. There's no questions asked. It's for everybody. They're for the people of Tacoma.
For those of us that maybe aren't experiencing food insecurity, would it be something that we should avail ourselves of?
There's plenty for everybody. No. Why not? Why not enjoy it? If you never had a fresh-grown homegrown tomato, why not enjoy it? It's right there on the table. You won't be able to buy that in the store. Get introduced to new vegetables like kohlrabi. And there's all kinds of things that you could be introduced to on those tables that you really won't find in the store. So why not just participate? If you've got extra, bring it out of the table. If you feel that you need to leave something for picking something up, then leave something on the table. But they're for everybody.
So I'm just thinking about myself. You know, I'm not really an experienced gardener, but I do have a wildly overgrown rosemary bush. So like something like that, I could create lots of snippings and then bring it to maybe one of the neighborhood tables that I see. Do I need to even contact the person?
No. Just as long as you're not dropping off dairy or perishable stuff, it's fine.
Understood. And then just before the pandemic really took hold in Washington, you expanded to link all of the different Washington sites together. Can you explain a little bit? Because maybe some of our listeners, you know, may be tuning in online and may live outside of Tacoma, the Tacoma area. So how do you get linked in your particular area if you don't have a Food is Free movement or group in your town?
Well, Food is Free is an open source program. So anybody can start a chapter. Anybody could start one. They could use the logo. They could use any of the information off of the website and start their own chapter. What I'm trying to do is I'm developing Food is Free Washington. And what that'll be is a fiscal sponsor for any of the Food is Free Washington state chapters that want a fiscal sponsor. A fiscal sponsorship is, instead of getting a 501c3 designation from the IRS, the fiscal sponsor will have that designation, and then they'll loan their legals and tax liability to that little project. The little project could, and in turn, be able to apply for grants and have tax-deductible donations without actually having to do the arduous 501c3 paperwork.
Very cool. It does, though, seem that it's pretty grassroots and ground up, so like, I'm not really certain what kind of the costs would be associated with it until I was actually looking at the Facebook page and I saw that recently you had a very large action that required some caravanning of hundreds of pounds of food from one region, I think up north, down to distribute to the sharing tables down here in Tacoma. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that's what I've done is we're working in connection with East West Food Rescue and Farmer Frog up in Woodinville. East West Food Rescue is buying excess produce from the farmers that have lost out because of the restaurants and the institutions closing. There's a lot of produce out there right now that's going to go to waste. So East West has been buying it at rock bottom prices and then giving them to Farmer Frog. And Farmer Frog, in turn, has been distributing them all throughout mostly northern Washington. But we've been going up to Woodinville and picking up there. I pick up anywhere, whatever we could carry. It could be anywhere from a ton and a half this last week to 32 tons the other, about a month ago. We'll pick that up on Thursday, haul it down from Woodinville down here to Tacoma, and then we distribute it out to all the Food is Free chapters and tables. And people just generally, I just allow the public just to come up, pick it up right here at the tables.
It's a pretty amazing additional support that's there in our food distribution chain to make sure that we can try and eliminate as much food scarcity as possible, especially as folks have been experiencing some insecurity with jobs, with housing prices as they are, and with a lot of the unknowns, and kids home all the time since March. And with it looking like kids may not be going back to school in a traditional way starting in a few weeks. One of the things that comes to mind for me is that as you look into our food supply chain in the United States, so much of our produce and our meats come either from abroad, where maybe there aren't as strict working protections for farm workers, or they come from labor that is sourced from incarcerated individuals. So something that comes to mind for me is that this could be a really cool way to think and consume a little bit more ethically for those that are interested in looking at where their produce comes from and what kinds of things that that they're supporting. Has that come to mind at all for you, or was it really just, I have excess in my own garden?
Well, it started with I have excess in my own garden. But as you think about the project and you think about the goal of building community, there's so many wonderful aspects to it. And you're right. You're right. There's a real thing with our food system. And it is they're using a lot of prison labor for some of it. And by growing your own food and sourcing local food, you're not supporting that type of stuff. A lot of this, I mean, if you think about it, when you're shipping a banana from South America to come up here so you can have a fresh banana, how much fossil fuel did that take to get that banana up here? Let's go with locally sourced food, so it cuts down on the fossil fuels.
Well, certainly if we know that it's coming from our own gardens, then we know exactly who is tending to it, who's putting in that hard work, and who's putting in that labor of love. Hopefully not under duress, unless some parents have their kids out there doing some hands-on learning in the absence of in-person schooling. So, David, it seems like, well, providing food for our neighbors should be a no-brainer. It's lovely. It brings community together. But it's not without its little bits of controversy here and there. I was reading about how one of the gardens that was started by not residents, but by a group of business owners in downtown Tacoma is actually come under fire a little bit because of where it's located and how it was erected. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. That's the little Corona Victory Garden. It's on Commerce right at 7th, just where the train ends. It was just a little space, and they left a bunch of weeds growing in a little space that had been there for, 7-8 months without nothing getting done to it. The business owners decided to cut all the weeds down and build a little victory garden there. And the idea was it was for the neighborhood there and to just give the stuff away. It didn't really, they weren't growing for their own selves. They were just growing for the neighborhood. And just to give people an idea and in a sense that we can get through our resiliency with this coronavirus. Well, they got a citation from the city telling them they have to remove it through code enforcement. And what we're doing is we're fighting the city to keep that little Corona garden in there. We're asking people to write their city council members and tell them that we want to keep the Corona Victory Garden. And moreover, that we want them to support urban agriculture. Urban agriculture is so important for our city. There's a lot of budget cuts coming up. We have the two-year budget that's coming up right now. And if we don't do something about this to try and keep the city from cutting urban agriculture, we're going to have real problems coming down the road. We need to support ourselves, and we need to shorten our supply chain. And we need to ask the city to support this urban agriculture.
Definitely something to look into. The Corona Victory Garden down at 7th and Commerce. Certainly something that brings at least visual interest and joy to those that may be walking around downtown. And we can't forget that there are folks residing downtown. Even as businesses may be struggling, there are definitely folks that are in mixed housing. There are residents there, and there's no grocery store immediately in downtown. So it seems to me, again, that no-brainer of being able to provide that joy, that interest, that way for community to come together, and a way to have super quick access to some fresh produce.
Absolutely.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what do you like best about Tacoma, David?
I love this city. I'm not from here. I'm from California, but I came up here in 98, and I just absolutely love this city. I love its whole gardening culture. You can walk the streets of Tacoma, and the sidewalk gardens are just incredible. I found one up in Stadium District yesterday. They had bamboo and exotic trees, and it was just amazing. It was absolutely amazing, the work and the effort that people put into it. We have a real gardening culture in this city, and I think we really need to highlight it.
At some point in the spring, I thought to myself as I was going along my own walks in Hilltop, that we could probably feed the entire neighborhood on wild brassica alone. Just all of the broccolis and kohlrabis and kale plants that have just kind of gone wild, taken over even from beyond the little sidewalk boxes into just all sorts of places. So it is definitely something that I've noticed and that I really appreciate. Now, where can people go to learn more about Food is Free? You're online and on social media, right?
Yes. Social media, I have Instagram, which would be Tacoma Urban Farmer. Facebook would be Food is Free Project Tacoma. We have a Facebook group and a page. There's also a page for Food is Free Washington. Twitter would be Food is Free Tacoma without the A. And then the website would be www.foodisfree253.com.
We can just keep an eye out for the white posters with black lettering saying food is free and avail ourselves of some nice fresh produce at our neighborhood tables.
Yep, there's 48 locations right now and more coming on all the time.
Ooh, is there a map to show where those locations might be?
Yes, the map is on the main webpage.
Wonderful. Well, David, thank you so much for joining me today for KTQA Daily Briefing.
Thank you.
And happy gardening and happy eating. David Thompson is the director and founder of Food is Free Tacoma and Food is Free Washington. You've been listening to KTQA Daily Briefing. Our email is daily@ktqa.org. Our website is daily@ktqa.org. Give us a call at 253-330-8821 or text us there. You can call 311 for the City of Tacoma and 211 for community resources statewide through the United Way. Talk to you all on Friday.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.